We'll look at a couple of verses before we begin that. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, as we begin again the introduction that we started last week, Paul in his writing says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. In verse 3 he says, but has in these in due time manifest his word through preaching. So that which God purposed or promised before time began, he revealed that to those, he says, through the preaching of his word. And so when you look at the things concerning this book, when was the things that we have revealed to us brought about by God, or when did God purpose this in his mind to do this? Okay. So at that time it was promised, it become a fact because God purposed it in his heart that what he said was going to happen. Okay, so that was promised before that. He says it was manifest through the preaching of his word, which was committed to me, Paul says, according to the commandments of God our Savior. So we need to keep in mind that these laws and everything in this was purposed in God's mind before time ever began, before the first word was spoken about creation. God had this, these laws, the laws concerning marriage, the home, the church, the law of Moses, all that was purposed in God's mind. And therefore it became a fact, if you will, that he was going to bring this to fruition. This is how it was going to happen. Because God, through his providence and all, could make that happen. So that was all in God's mind, and it was a fact that it would come to pass the way that it was designed at that time in his mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul there says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He says, but now has been revealed. That which was in God's mind became revealed. And we have that today in this scripture. If I asked you, what would be the importance of it have to be written down for us? And you thought, why important that God seen fit said it must be written?
One thing
about
change,
we made reference last week to a law in this land. Even though it is thought in the person's mind, what if you didn't have that law to read each day? What would eventually happen? Alright? It's the same thing. So the laws of this land are written down. If you want to find out a certain punishment for a certain law, you get a book. There it's written. This is God's written law to us. I might tell Donnie something. In 2 weeks, Donnie might forget what I told him. But if we always got this to come back to, it's there. Yes, what is it going to say?
Remember.
Hi. Memory. And so you have those two verses, and kind of keep that in mind, that the reason why God revealed that to those individuals who wrote these things down, it was for a purpose. We looked last week that the scriptures themselves teach us their importance. We looked at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and John 20 and verse 31. We looked at Romans 15 and verse 4. And Paul there says that the things that were written before time were written for our comfort and patience. That we, through those scriptures, those things that were written, may have hope. And it has reference to all things that are written in this book, these 1,180-some chapters on that. Anybody look up and see how many words are in the scriptures? Again, we looked last week, the purpose of the scriptures is to reveal the whole counsel of God to man. Both what we believe concerning God and what God requires of us. There shouldn't be no doubt who God is. Okay? If none other than Romans chapter 1 talks about God and the creation, that would give us some idea that there's a God. It should establish that there's a God. There's a supreme being because of what we see. But God goes much farther than that to let us know who He is. And that we can have confidence that there is a God in heaven. That should provoke us to want to live the kind of life this being requires for us to live. And to help us with that, He gave us something that was wrote down for us to follow. We looked at the Bible as the most important book in history that has influenced people throughout the ages. Laws have been fashioned upon its teaching, even those of the United States at one time. And we looked at what was contained in this book, that it speaks of and shows the way of life from the time that we're born to the time that we die. It guides our steps each day that we wake up and we spend that day. This book, we put it to in our mind, will tell us how to get through that day. Its pages contain solutions to the deepest problems that we face in life, not only providing to the question, but knowledge, the origins and existence of God that we've looked at. It communicates life because it is the living Word. It's the living, it's the oracles of God. They're written down. It has the capacity of nourishing souls, the souls of man. It'll never be exhausted. It'll always be there, no matter how used. It will never be exhausted in our studies, how much we put it to use in our life. And we need to keep in mind the purpose of the Scripture, the application therein, to understand what the writers wrote. Because a certain Scripture or two Scriptures may refer just to one event that none of the rest of the chapters or those Scriptures have any reference to. So we need to keep those things in mind. And we'll look at some of those as we go through this. We need to recognize, as we mentioned, that the Bible is concerned with both what we believe and how we live. And what we believe should influence how we live. And it will. We left off with the Scriptures are concerned with revealing the whole counsel of God, not just simply the gospel, not just simply the law, the whole counsel. You have the whole counsel. It's not confined to one aspect throughout the years that it's been in existence. From the beginning of time, it's not concerned with just one aspect. But from the beginning of time to this present day until time will end, it's the whole counsel of God. We must take care not to narrow and limit Scriptures to presenting gospel truths alone. When Scriptures speak of every area of our life, and to every institution of society, and every area of truth and morality, it's just more than the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Although that is the main theme of the gospel, period. But so much more is contained in those books that Paul writes, and that the other writers of the New Testament write, that we are to commit to memory and study and make application, if you will, to our life. The gospel is just a small portion of the Scriptures, just like the law was a small portion of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the revelation of the covenant between God and man. That's why it is written. It's a covenant that we have with our Father. This covenant is the foundation of a relationship. And then we find not only the revelation of who God is and what He has done, but also what He requires of us, His will, His commandments, His law. In them we discern what the characteristics of the people of God are. How can people say, as Donnie points out, that individual is a Christian? It's every aspect of what this book says we should be. Not because the verse says, you're not to lie. That's true. But that, just because you don't lie, is not going to get you to heaven. He's going to tell you my relationship with Mark, with Larry, with Lowell, and their relationship with me. To society, to my enemy, whatever. We are given examples from those that are written about how they handle these areas in their life where they were right or wrong. The word scripture is used one time in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Daniel there says, "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth." Now, some versions may have something else for scriptures. Any other versions read it any other way? I'm not sure what some versions may read.
Scripture of truth in the New King.
Okay. "But I'll tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against thee except Michael, your prince." And so we will come back to this verse as we get on through. But that's the only place that scripture, singular, is used in the Old Testament. We'll not go through all the others. You can do this in your study. But this word scripture, singular, is found 31 times in the New Testament. And the word scriptures in the plural is not found in the Old Testament, but it's found 21 times in the New Testament. So, for the amount of words and the amount of chapters, the word scripture is not used that many times when you think of the number of words that are spoken of in the Bible. But there's other phrases or things that are spoken that refer or have application, if you will, to the scripture. When you look at Matthew chapter 12, in verse 5, you see some of these. Christ there says, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" Christ says, "Have you not read in the law?" Well, what's he having an application to? He's having reference to what? The scriptures. Have you not read in the scriptures that the law, where the law is at? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Someone turn there and read.
"So they read distinctly from the book, from the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading."
They read from what? The book. One of the meaning of scripture is book or books. So they read from what? The scriptures. Even though not pointed out that that's what it is, that's what he's referring to. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 31. "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? Have you not read?" What would they be reading from? Scripture. Okay? Acts chapter 13 and verse 15. "And after reading, and after the reading of the law and the prophets," well, what was written by the law and the prophets? What were written by the prophets? Scriptures. So he says, after the reading of scriptures, of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for these people, say on." In 2 Corinthians 3, and verse 14. Paul there says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains uplifted in the reading of the Old Testament." Well, what was contained in the Old Testament? It was scripture that had been written. So you see, that's one, other than just simply mention scriptures, that inference is made when you talk about reading something. You're talking about reading scriptures. John 7, verse 38, you have it worded a little bit different. You can see John in this kind of points out what they were reading. John 7, verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scriptures had said." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So the scriptures say something. Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors, having reference to the scripture. John chapter 19, verse 28. John there says, after this, Jesus, knowing what all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. He quoted what the scripture said in verse 37. And another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 3, Paul there says, for what does the scripture say? In other words, he's having reference that the scripture speaks to us. In reference to when we're reading, the scripture is speaking to us. In reality, when you look at this, it's God speaking through what is written to us. It says, Abraham believed God. In chapter 10, in verse 11, Paul says, for there is no distinction, or excuse me, back up to verse 11, for the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28, in verse 16. When Paul's telling those wrong, he said, what does the scripture say? Now, if they had what we had today, what would they be reading from concerning this scripture? They'd be reading from the prophet Isaiah, just like we're reading today. So Isaiah here calls him scripture. When you turn back to Isaiah chapter 28, just briefly, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, about the prophet there that words it, when he says, therefore, thus says the Lord God. This is Isaiah speaking. He said, Isaiah said, I'm telling you what the Lord has told me to tell you. So I'm speaking it to you. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, he is called what? What does the scripture say? It's not having reference to the word. Here, they're two different things. They don't say, have you ever read in the word anywhere in the Bible? Or have you ever read in the oracles of God? It's point is, have you ever read the scriptures? And the scriptures contain the word of God that man spoke and later wrote down. And so you don't make reference that those are one and the same. They're different. We'll notice more of that, if you will, later on. In Luke chapter 10, verse 26, another phrase, if you will, is used concerning the scriptures. Luke 10 and verse 26. He said to them, what is written? Again, one of the meanings of what scriptures are. It's that which is written. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Verse 4. However, he did not execute their children. This is Amaziah executing those fathers and members who had killed his father. But he said he did not execute their children, but did as it is written in the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death. Again, all you have here is something that is written in the law of Moses. It is written. And for them to know that they were not to put those individuals to death, they could turn back and see what the law said concerning this particular one. Verse 26. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from the first to the last, indeed, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel, that which is written. Psalms chapter 40. In verse 7. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written to me. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written, of me. Some versions may read that in the volume of this book. So it's that which is written, Christ says here in the prophecy concerning him. Mark chapter 1 and verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. The idea of it is written has reference to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Again, when you look at verses like this, no thought of any command or things that we need to obey. It's just simple statements of who God is, what he's going to do. Well, what benefit is that to us? What lesson can we learn from this scripture that is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise? Any thoughts? What it means to us? If the scriptures are for our benefit and for our learning, what would this verse teach us?
Teaches us what we'll be accountable for. If we have nothing that's written to each his own, what we're going to be held accountable for.
All right. But if you look at that and you go on and look at the context of which Paul makes a statement after this, says, where's the wise, where's the scribe, where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made a foolish the wisdom of this world? He's dealing with people who are wise in their own conceit. And he's telling us, we don't need to do that. We don't need to be as these. He said, I'm going to destroy that type of wisdom. And so it's something I learn and I make application to my life that I don't need the wisdom of this world. I need the wisdom which is in these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21. In the law it is written, with man of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. When you turn back to John chapter 10, verse 34. John there said, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. What application would that verse have to us when I read the scriptures concerning when in Psalms that we're gods? That Christ says here, have you not read, you're gods? What application would that make to us? What benefit is that verse to me? I'm trying to point out each and every verse in scripture that we have in this is important to us. Some way or another, it's important to us that we learn from that, because that's exactly what the scriptures tell us. Things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. I learn something from every verse in this, even though it may be from cruel people, sinful people. I learn how God dealt with those. And know likewise, if God dealt with them like that, he's going to deal with me like that. So it's lessons that we learn. Prophets, a statement made, prophets which are read or written in the prophets in Acts chapter 13 and verse 27. It says, and as John was, verse 27, for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, not even the voice of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, and has fulfilled them in condemning him. This idea of that the prophets was read every Sabbath, it has reference to the scriptures that these prophets wrote. You have to associate that with something you read, not something you hear. Okay? So it's something that you read. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So we take the scriptures as Mark do, or I'm doing here tonight. I'm showing you what the Scriptures read, and you're hearing it. It's something that is spoken to you from the Scriptures. And so I tell you what the Word is that's contained in the Scriptures. And that's simply all it is, that God's Word was revealed and later wrote down. And that's what Scriptures are. Even though they're not called that you ever read in the Word, but that's what's in the Scriptures. That's what's in the Law of Moses. The commandments are in the Scriptures. So we need to keep that in mind. Luke chapter 18 and verse 31. Christ our said that he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. This idea of what was written in the prophets concerning him. And so you have different aspects, even though the word Scripture is not used that many times throughout the number of words that we have recorded in the Old and New Testament. There's a lot of other phrases that has reference to the same. And there's probably a lot more than what I got there. That's not a great list that I put together, but a few that I come up with and show you just some other phrases, sayings that may have reference to Scripture on that. Any questions on that?
Did you want to know the number of words?
If you got it.
Literally. It says there are different versions, therefore different numbers. The most used version is the King James, and it has 783,137 words.
It's a lot of words. That's written. But from that, what would that tell you concerning the God that we served? He wanted us to know who he was and what his will was. And so that's important, even the number of chapters that are contained. And you keep in mind, one of the later studies that look, you know, we have a very few number of writers that wrote the Old and New Testament. Even though we may not know for certain, we all know that what was wrote was inspired by God. But he had so many other prophets that taught that is not written, even though what they taught would have been the same. But you have probably more prophets than that's revealed to us and the writers of the New Testament that done so much work that he didn't show us that, if you will. But again, he gave us enough evidence to know who he is. Scripture in the Old Testament, these are from Strong's. You can look up the definition yourself. Simply means to record something written, writing, book or books, a register, something you keep, inscribe or inscription. If you look at that, when you look at the words that were wrote upon the cross, it talks about they were inscribed there. That's what you had. It's something that's wrote, okay, on that. When it talks about that Jesus sat down and wrote upon the ground, it has a writing, has reference to a writing, an inscription that is made. Or a collection of writings. That's what we have. We have a collection of writings, okay? We have a collection of books. When you turn to Exodus chapter 24, and we'll look at a couple of verses and we'll close to pick up here next week. In Exodus chapter 24, in verse 12, Then the Lord said to Moses, Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law of commandments which I have written. The idea of Scripture. They would be written. In chapter 31, in verse 8, And he said, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. The idea, and all I'm doing is just establish the meaning of what it means, Scripture. It's that which is written. When you look at chapter 17, In verse 14, we will close with this one. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Again, we have things that are wrote in here. He says, you write this down for a memorial. We have written down for us a memorial. It's the Lord's Supper. Why was that placed there in these scriptures? Why was Moses said, was told that you write this down and you recount it to Joshua? If Moses wrote it down, Joshua could go back and read it. What benefit would that have been to Joshua? The same benefit that what Paul wrote to us and the gospel writers wrote to us concerning what we are to remember. We don't have no doubt which day it is. I can read it, turn it very quickly and read it. It meant something. So you have those types of statements in scriptures. Any thoughts before we close? Good, thank you.